It's a great joy to stand before you with God's word. Just want to remind the church this morning that this year we have only 156 days left. Today is the 209th day and we have just 156 days. I just want to remind that time is coming where no one can work, but as long as it is day, we must do the works of Him. Night is coming when no one can work. So I just want to encourage every one of you, the time left, let us live wisely for the glory of God. Let's turn our scripture to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. Let's read together verse 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bond servants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bond servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, send forth thy light and thy truth. Lord, help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. Teach us, touch us, fill us, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Revelation, normally we don't read this book. It talks about judgment, it talks about the creatures, it talks about the signs and so many things. But verse 1, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Today, as Sister Deepa was leading in worship, if you don't have a revelation of the risen Savior, you cannot worship Him. If you don't know who your God is, how can you worship Him? We need to have a revelation, a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. So verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His bond servants the things which must soon take place. And He sent and communicated it by His angel to His bond servant John. The word revelation is a word used, apocalypsis, means to take the cover off, to uncover, or to unveil. The word that's used is apocalypsis, means to take the cover off, to uncover, to unveil. That's a word. The revelation of Jesus Christ means to unveil who Jesus is, to uncover who this Jesus is. This word apocalypsis is used in New Testament 18 times. So this real purpose of this book is to unveil who Jesus is. And this book is about the prophecy. All this message is from the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So this revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. So who is the source? God the Father. So this message, this revelation is directly from God the Father. This revelation, apocalypsis, was given to Jesus Christ by God the Father, and it was communicated to Apostle John by an angel. That is a process. God the Father gave to Jesus, and Jesus is communicating to the Apostle John through an angel. This book, Book of Revelation, was written in the last decade of the first century. In human level, when Jesus was on this earth, Jesus was very close to John. And among all the apostles, John was very, very close to Jesus. When Jesus called him, this apostle John was a very young teenager. He had a fierce love for Jesus. And he is a son of Zebedee, one of the sons of thunder. So Revelation begins with John, the last surviving apostle, an old man in exile on a small barren island of Patmos. The Roman authorities had banished him there because of his faithful preaching of the gospel. When this revelation was given, John was on an island called Patmos. He was a prisoner. He was very faithful in preaching the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel, for he knew it is the power of God for salvation. The history says the Roman authorities, first they dropped him into a vat of boiling oil, but when he did not die, they instead banished him to the barren rock of Patmos. And while John was in Patmos, he received a series of vision from God the Father. And this book of Revelation begins with a promise of blessing. How many of you this morning want to receive a blessing from God? Can I see the hands? Do you want to receive a blessing from God? Yes? Let's read verse 3. What does verse 3 say? Blessed is he who reads. So if you want a blessing from the Lord, please lift your Bible. You have to read this book. There is no shortcut. Okay? You have to read this book. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. Oh. If you want to receive a blessing, if you want to be blessed, don't go for shortcuts. You have to read the scripture. All scripture is inspired by God. So if you read, if you hear, and if you obey, God says, I will bless you. Can you hear amen? So blessed is he who reads, who hear, and who heed this prophecy, because the things which are written, for the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Church, the book of Revelation is a book of, this is a prophecy. But this gives us a hope also. Jesus Christ will come again in glory, and he will judge and he will rule. This revelation of Jesus Christ is about the risen, glorified Son of God. This book of Revelation is about the risen Savior, the glorified Son of God. There are certain truth that was concealed, but now it has been revealed. So it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. When you read the book, the gospel tells us about what took place. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose, and he ascended. Talks about the past, the gospel. When you read the book of Acts, it talks about the history of the church from the ascension of Jesus Christ all the way to the death of Apostle Paul. The epistles of Paul, James, Peter, John, Jude, and the book of Hebrews gives us teaching and instruction and application of the realities of the work of the cross. But the book of Revelation is about the future. Prophecy about the future is a revelation of Jesus Christ. My dear friends, in the end, good will triumph over evil. In the end, wickedness will be judged. In the end, the righteous will receive their reward. Hallelujah. Today, people are running to know the future. They go to astrology. They check the horoscope. They do the tarot card reading. They go for the palmistry. They want to know the future. What is going to happen? What is my future? Let me tell you, only one person knows the future, and God the Father. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bond servant. God the Father is a source, who is the writer, Apostle John. And God had mercy upon John, that God was so gracious that God wants to reveal this to Apostle John. And John, when he writes, he's a writer of the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, and the three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. When you study the book of Gospel of John and the book of Revelation, John refers to Jesus Christ, the risen, glorified Son of God, as the Word of God. Both the book. Number two, he refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Number three, he refers to Jesus as the witness. So the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation refers to this risen, glorified Son of God as the Word of God, as the Lamb of God, as a witness. When you read the book of Revelation, there are many titles given to the Savior where you will not find anywhere else. So blessed is he who reads, blessed is he who hears, and blessed is he who obeys. The book of Revelation promises a world where pain, tears, and death will pass away. This book also reminds us that there is hope. Yes, we have momentary trials and struggles in this life. Yes, there are challenges. There are attacks of the enemy. There are problems. Yes, but God has given us a blessed hope, a glorious hope. One day, darkness will pass away and we will all dwell in the perpetual light. Hallelujah. Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. People of God, shout amen. Amen. Verse 4 to 6, I want to focus. It says, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ. Verse 5. What am I talking about? The revelation of the risen, glorified Son of God. This is the revelation of Jesus. So John writes, number one, the title given to Jesus is, he is the faithful witness. Please repeat after me, the faithful witness. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Who is a witness? Witness is a person who tells what he has seen or heard. Amen? Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. What does it say? The one who unveils and reveals the invisible God. He is the exact moving picture in every word or deed of God the Father. He is a witness of God. He was faithful. He finished the work which God the Father had given him. So Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Witness comes from the word martyr. Jesus, the faithful martyr. The martyr, the one who has given this witness, the one who lived his life till the end. He has completed what God the Father has given him. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He is the perfect example. He faithfully carried out his assignment. Apostle John calls him the faithful witness. But Jesus himself says in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, Jesus calls himself the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the faithful and true martyr. When Jesus tells you, go and be my witness, what does it mean? Be my martyr. Jesus was faithful witness. Number two, the second title that was given to Jesus was, he was the faithful witness. Number two, the firstborn of the dead. Please repeat after me. The firstborn of the dead. So number one, he was a faithful witness. Number two, he is the firstborn of the dead. Listen, this is the revelation of Jesus. We need to see this risen Savior. The titles that are given to him. The firstborn of the dead. What does it say? He is the first one to be resurrected? No. He is the firstborn of the dead means, before Jesus, no human being has been resurrected from corruptible human being into an incorruptible eternal being. He is the firstborn of the dead, the first human to be resurrected from being mortal and made into an immortal. The faithful witness. Number two, the firstborn of the dead. He is the first fruit of the great harvest. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. What am I talking about? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father has given. Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Number three, the third title given to Jesus, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. The ruler of the kings of the earth. Please repeat. The ruler of the kings of the earth. These are the titles given to the risen, glorified Son of God. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, Paul writes, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hallelujah. In him, all things hold together. That is why we worship this Jesus. Jesus paid the sins of the whole world. He shed his blood. 1 John chapter 2 verse 2 says, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. At the cross, Jesus won the title deed from the enemy. And now he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a revelation of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. In his life, he was a faithful witness. In his death, he was the firstborn of the dead. In his resurrection, he was a ruler of the kings of the earth. His life, his death, and his resurrection. His life, he was a faithful witness. In his death, he was the firstborn of the dead. In his resurrection, he is a ruler of the kings of the earth. Let me continue. Verse 5. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Let's pause for a minute. To him, in actual translation, it is from him. From him who loves us. It is a present tense. Church, Jesus, he loves us. He constantly loves you and me. God's love is not a past experience. It is a present reality. He loved us when we hated him. But now that we belong to him, he will keep on loving us. What is the supreme proof that he loves us? Look at the cross. His sacrifice on the cross on our behalf is the supreme proof that he loves us. He loves us so much that he released us from our sins by his blood. Can I hear hallelujah? He loves us. What did he do? He released us from our sins through his blood. Please tell your neighbor, God loves you. God loves you. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, once and for all, at that time, you are freed and released from all your sins. Listen to me very carefully what I'm going to say next. You are a child of God. You're born again. God has bought you with his precious blood. You are his own possession. Amen? Now, if you still sin as a believer, listen carefully, God the Father will discipline you just like a father disciplines a child. He will never, never, never disown you. He will discipline you. He will never disown you. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you're freed. You are forgiven of your past, present, and future sins. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you have become his own possession. You're bought with the precious blood. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You cannot lose it. He loves us. He released us from our sins by his blood. Church, if he started loving you, he will love you till the end. No matter what, he loves you. The Savior's love. Number one, the love of our Savior, it is a gracious love. It is a gracious love. We don't deserve it. We all were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We all lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were all by nature children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, he saved us. We are saved by grace through faith. The Savior's love, number one, it is a gracious love. Come on, respond. It is a gracious love. It is a gracious love. Don't nod your head. Open your mouth and speak. What you believe in your heart, you have to speak with your mouth, resulting in salvation. So let's stop this kadagali. Let us respond. The Savior's love, number one, it is a gracious love. Come on. It is a gracious love. He saved us by grace through faith. Number two, the Savior's love, it is a sovereign love. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. Savior's love, it is a sovereign love. Respond. It is a sovereign love. Number one, it is a gracious love. Number two, the Savior's love is a sovereign love. We love Him because He first loved us. Everything begins from Him. Number three, the Savior's love, it is a redeeming love. It is the love that reached out, sought us and brought us back. Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verse 10, Luke writes, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Savior's love, number one, it is a gracious love. Number two, it is a sovereign love. Number three, it is a redeeming love. Redeems us. He loved us, released us from all our sins. Number four, the Savior's love, it is an unconditional love. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 and 5 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." Unconditional love. Savior's love is unconditional. He knew our state, how wretched we were. He knew our state, but nothing could separate us from His love. The Savior's love, number one, it is a gracious love. Number two, it is a sovereign love. Number three, it is a redeeming love. Number four, it is an unconditional love. Please tell your neighbor, what a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. We have a wonderful Savior. The Savior of all men, especially of believers. The message is not over. Number five, the Savior's love, it is an intercessory love. Intercessory love. He loves us so much that He is interceding for us at all times. He is ever living to intercede for us before the throne room of God, so that everything He pledged, everything He promised, will be delivered to us. Intercessory love. We have a high priest. Hallelujah. He is interceding for us right now. Right now, He's interceding for us. The Savior's love, it is an intercessory love. Number one, it is a gracious love. Number two, it is a sovereign love. Number three, it is a redeeming love. Number four, it is an unconditional love. Number five, it is an intercessory love. Savior's love, number six, it is a sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. John chapter 15 verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. It is a sacrificial love. Our Savior's love, it is a sacrificial love. John chapter 3 verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but will have eternal life. Savior's love, it is a sacrificial love. Number 7, Savior's love, it is a generous love. Lavish. He's generous. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Savior's love, it is a generous love. Generous. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It is lavish. So number 1, Savior's love, it is. Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. Number 5. Number 6. Number 7. Number 8. The Savior's love, it is an eternal love. It is an eternal love. It is an eternal love. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Can I hear a response? Will tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Verse 37 says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Verse 38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah! I'm excited. The title for today's message. The Joy of the Redeemed, Part 17. Savior's Love for His Own. Savior's Love for His Own. Our Savior loves us so much. Our Savior's love is not romantic, sentimental, emotional, fickle love. The Savior's love is a fixed eternal love that provides eternal salvation, eternal blessing, and eternal glory. Coming back to our text, Revelation chapter 1. Verse 6, John writes, so number 1, to him who loves us, released us from our sins by his blood. Then what did he do? Verse 6, he has made us. Number 1, he loves us. Number 2, he released us. Number 3, he made us. What? He made us to be a kingdom and a priest to his God and Father. Saints, God loves you. Savior loves you. He released you from all your sins. Then He made you into a kingdom and a priest to his God and Father. He loves us, he released us, and he made us into a kingdom. Kingdom is under the king. He has made us kings, rulers, and he has made us priest. The one sitting next to you, very precious. Tell your neighbor, you're very precious. You're very precious. You're very precious. Why you are precious? Because God has made you a kingdom and a priest. He has given us royalty. He has made us priest. What does that mean? We have the direct access to God the Father. He has given us the right to enter into his presence. We can approach the throne of grace anytime. Does that bring joy? Can I see the smiling face? He has made us kingdom and priest. Oh, it's all because of the work of the cross. Someone died on our behalf. Someone shed his blood. Because of the cross, he loves us, released us, and he has made us into a kingdom and a priest. Priest, we have the right to intercede. We can intercede for our nation. We can intercede for one another. We have the privilege to come before this living God. When Dibajaji was leading, she said, we have come before a God who answers our prayer. Hallelujah. We bring our petitions. We bring our thanksgiving. We bring our praise before him. And our request. He loves us, released us, and he has made us into a kingdom and a priest. And John writes, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. John says that the one who loves us, the one who released us, the one who made us into a kingdom and a priest, he has the right for everlasting praise. He has a right to everlasting glory. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Shout an amen. Amen. Saints, we are under his rule. We are under the King of Glory. We are under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today, we are under the risen, glorified Son of God. We are in him. So he loves us, he released us, and he made us. For what? Why did he love us? Why did he release us and forgiven us and washed us our sins? Why did he made us a kingdom and a priest? For what? It says, he made us to be a kingdom and a priest to his God and Father. Saints, we have a purpose. We are here for his glory. We are here for his purpose. We are here for his business. Do not let the momentary trials, struggles, problems pull you down. There is hope. There is victory. We give him all the glory. We give all the glory to the risen, glorified Son of God, because he is the faithful witness. He is the firstborn of the dead. He is a ruler of the kings of the earth. He loves us. He released us and he made us into a kingdom and a priest to his God and Father. So our Savior deserves all the glory. We give praise, we give worship to this risen, glorified Son. Number one, for what he has done for on the cross. He took away our sins. He paid the penalty. We worship and we give glory for what he has already done for us on the cross. We give glory to him for what he's doing right now. He is doing right now, he is interceding for us in heaven. Oh, he's interceding for us right now in heaven. He has done something for us on the cross. Right now, he is doing something. He's interceding for each one of us. And we worship him. We give him all the glory for what he will do for us in the future. Hallelujah. Our Savior is worthy of worship and praise. He loves us, he released us, and he made us into a kingdom and a priest to his God and Father. Our Savior deserves all our worship, all our praise. So let us worship him. In this book of Revelation, there are many titles given to Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, he is the Lion of Judah, the bright morning star, the Amen, the Word, the faithful one, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty One. Oh, there are many titles given to Jesus. And our Savior is worthy of worship and praise. Amen. As you read this book, Holy Spirit revealed to you the risen, glorified Son of God. And we need to have a fresh revelation of this risen Savior. The times that we are living right now, we need to have a revelation of Jesus.
Amen.
To be an effective witness.
Amen.
To be involved in his business, the Father's business, we need to have a fresh revelation. And may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our heart, open our ears to him.